My name is Raju Rajdas. I can say after many, many, many years, I really re-experience one, we can say, one simple and then full of heart chanting, like I experienced the first day that I joined Hare Krishna movement. Well, when I joined the movement, when we were sitting in the temple, the only thing was just to chant, for pleasure to chant, and then trying to do the best we could for, you know, Krishna. But then we entered the process of Sankirtan, book distribution, and then we're introducing the idea that the chanting was, we can say, a process to fix the day, to get the thing, then lots of books done, get lots of product out there. And every time the performance was not really well, so the day after we were just chanting with this motivation to get more done. So some or other became so ingrained in my life that I realized just yesterday that most of the day my chanting was just to get my day fixed. Get my day in proper structure, get not too much trouble out of it, and so on. But just this seminar in just a few days was just completely different. I really enjoy like the first day when I started my Krishna consciousness.
Yadubhara Das, just a quick realization on my realization is that we have actually no control over the holy name. That Namprabhu is completely independent to do as he pleases, to reveal himself fully, partially, or not at all. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I agree with that. it's so clear that the holy name is a person, and I realized I couldn't charm, humor my way into his graces, and I had to meet him where he was, and yeah.
Were there some things that you found out of the weekend that you resourced as support and gave you strength? Some of the other questions are challenges that you encountered and how you responded to those challenges.
I found it really helpful, just the two things was the annunciation, just like a very simple, just to make myself really pronounce things, and then also just the 16 syllables. Just remembering that helped me. It wasn't about whether I was feeling it or not, it was whether I was concentrating and doing those two things. And that I found really helpful, because then that judgment of whether I'm doing it right or whether I'm feeling it didn't get in the way. I was just paying attention. And that was really helpful.
How did the day end?
Really late.
Did you complete
60? I did. Yeah. Yeah.
She was really challenged. Really challenged. Anyone else? You can be the runner. Way in the back. If you like, you can describe in the beginning, this is where I started, and then this experience, and then fell through a dark hole, whatever that experience was.
The inspiration to move into ISKCON or Krishna consciousness is service. Because I'm from the beginning I want to serve the people. And when I came to the Krishna consciousness, I came for Janmashtami day, they need lot of help. Then I started coming, I started help. That is where I started. Now also, first priority. Maharaj a lot of times told, no, your first priority is chanting. Said, okay, service comes, I have chanting left. Okay, chanting, it's okay, but I am doing service to Krishna. Chant, that is also same. I dedicated lot of time to service than chanting. But I realized after coming here, some Prabhu told you had to finish the rounds by Brahmamutra before sunrise. Then I made a decision whether I am able to finish 16 rounds or not, but I am going to wake up in the morning. That's a very difficult part for me, but I'll do it. I'll start chanting. That's a promise to you, Maharaj. I'm taking that one.
Dr. Rao is known for unlimited, no limits, volumes of service. And so much service, there isn't time for chanting. Now it's service is chanting, and chanting is service. And from that, some of the other services will flow.
Yes, Father.
In a quality way.
Yes, in a quality way. Okay.
Someone else. I'm looking over on this side. See if someone wants to volunteer. If not, I can call on someone. You're volunteering? Okay. I thought you were volunteering somebody else.
There were two things which...
For the audience and the recording.
Nav Kishori Devidasi from Seattle. The two things that really helped me, like what I heard during Maharaj classes and all, that I tried to focus that during my chanting. One of them was offering all my shortcomings to Krishna. Because while chanting, usually a lot of guilt would come into me, you know, I'm not doing my service properly or I'm not behaving nicely or whatever. So, what Nitai Priya Mataji shared and Maharaj's guidance, you know, that offering all the shortcomings to Krishna, that really helped my chanting flow. And it also helped me feel that I have a relationship with Krishna. You know, like just by...
What was your experience when you did that? What happened when...
I felt very sheltered. I felt that, yes, I have all these shortcomings and it is up to me to overcome them, but then there is this divine help and I just have to surrender to Krishna and say that, Krishna, please help me out of these things. I want to take your holy name and please help me in overcoming all these shortcomings. So I felt very sheltered at that time. I almost felt like, I felt a big load off and I felt like somebody is, like Lord Krishna is like just lifting me up and everything's just flowing now. So that was one very helpful, like it was very, very helpful for me. And the second point was Maharaj touched upon in his class was about that, yes, we have all these techniques and tips and, you know, different things, but then purity is going to attract the mercy. So I understood that, like I had read that in Mahanidhi Swami's book also a few days ago from the Art of Chanting Hare Krishna, that you can, the ability to attract the mercy is based on the spiritual potency of the person. And all the time I would hear, yeah, the mind is very difficult to control and, you know, we cannot control the mind and things like that. And then I read Art of Chanting Hare Krishna, I read that portion in that book. And then through Maharaj classes and then in the chanting, I understood that the mind is difficult to control because it is not spiritually potent. As Maharaj was saying that if we have Krishna, Trishna, then automatically we will be able to chant nicely. So that, I was also like, that was very, very helpful for me. It's like, otherwise I should just blame it, oh, the mind is very difficult to control, I can't do anything about it. And the third thing, yeah, so the purity of the heart, and I'm trying to take this as a homework point that I'll try to focus more on maintaining that consciousness, like throughout the day, so that, you know, doing the right activities so that I maintain that consciousness throughout the day, you know, like Otherwise, there is always that attraction of, you know, committing offenses and things like that because it satisfies at me at some level. And the third thing I was about chanting for pleasing Krishna. I started the chanting with that, and that helped me a lot because I was just trying to think about all the maha opulences Krishna has blessed me with, you know, like association of devotees coming to Japa retreat, wonderful temple in Seattle, so much Krishna katha everywhere. And I was just thinking that, you know, Krishna has given so much, and the only very little thing I can do to express my gratitude to Krishna is just take his holy name for his pleasure. So in the start, that helped me a lot. Like when I started chanting the rounds, that was like very, very helpful for me. So all these three things I learned during the classes here, and I found them very, very helpful. So I just thought I'll share with everyone. Yes, Maharaj.
Were there any valleys along with the nice mountains you described?
There were valleys when I was, like the first 32 rounds were, I would call them the normal rounds that I chant, you know, it's not just, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling anything. And I had that attraction for chanting 64 rounds, but at the same time I wanted to attend your class as well. And then I said, okay, I won't think about the decision, I'll just leave it. So during, say from rounds, say 28 to 35 or something, I experienced something which just made me continue because I wanted to, like, the last time I chanted 64 rounds was in a previous Japa retreat. And I picked up a habit, like I saw that while chanting the 64 rounds, I was able to enforce some good habits. So I wanted to do that. And, you know, that was what was driving me to go to 64 because I could just focus and force myself to pick up some good habits and continue those. So the 20, like say the rounds 25 to 35 or something like that were like the high points for me. And that motivated me to chant more. And then as I started chanting, like I was feeling sleepy and things like that. And then I was thinking maybe I should have gone for Maharaj's class. And then I was like, well, I can't go for class now, so I better focus on the rounds. And then I started chanting with, I started looking for association. You know, like, I need external help to chant, so I was looking for association, and Yamuna Mataji had just come, and she was sitting at the back and chanting along with, I think it was Yoginath Prabhu, he was also there. So I said, okay, let me go there and, you know, I'll hear that chanting, it will help me a lot. So that the minute I went there, it just uplifted me completely from the valley I was in. Just hearing that very pure chanting was very, very helpful for me. And also other devotees, like I was also chanting for some time with Mangal Gopi Mataji from Seattle. And like her chanting helped me a lot during the day. Like every time I would have a valley, I would go and try to get her association, and it would help me a lot. Because the association of the devotees who are chanting with so much focus, it automatically made me feel that, you know, you know, there is a lot more nectar here, and I need to really stretch myself and, like, find the jewels there. Thank you, Maharaj. Your classes were wonderful. They clarified a lot of things for me. It was very, very helpful.
The sense that I'm getting is we've all been tricked by the holy name. Serving the holy name by assisting one another to serve the holy name. I'm glad you've been tricked. We welcome you, Trip. That's what's happening. We're all brought together to serve the holy name together. It's a nice feeling. Anyone else?
I had a nice initial experience. He said my name for me.
Maybe not.
After I started my chanting here, I decided to go for a japa walk around the northwest. I went all the way around the lake. And one of my sankalpa, my goals for the chanting for this retreat was to, before you had mentioned the butterfly, I was trying to embrace that feeling and shed some outworn modes and conditioning more consciously and more naturally. And so when I was walking around the side of the lake, there was this butterfly that was kind of, you know, saying, okay, come on, come on. And it would go down the path in the same direction I was going and wait for me, and then I'd come. And it, the whole entire, like maybe half an hour of walking this whole side of the lake, it was with me. And any time my mind started to wander from the chanting, the butterfly would come back and kind of flutter in my face and say, hey, this is what you want. Don't you remember you want to be like change and, you know, morph into something more beautiful. So then it would keep going. And it was consistent in its behavior with what I was thinking in my mind. And I thought it was quite beautiful. I was very happy to see Krishna's manifestation in that way.
We didn't use the bear example.
Okay. So, some of my valleys, which were many. It wasn't as glorious in a certain sense that I would have hoped, because I found myself wandering a lot and really confronted with the reality of my situation internally. And I found a lot of feelings of self-loathing and punishment coming at myself for not being in the place that I've wanted to be and that I've thought I'd been working hard to achieve. And I was really upset in the day about that, really having some struggles with that. And what I realized was that, well, anyways, not so much a realization, but just that you really have to, those feelings of self-loathing, you know, although it's good to be realistic with where you're at, the punishment, it takes away from the faith in the holy name. And instead of like punishing ourselves for not being as good as we want to be, we have to encourage ourselves in the pursuit of improving endeavor without attaching thoughts of punishment and feelings of self-loathing. And it's our faith in the holy name that can do that, this trust in the holy name. So when I was feeling that self-loathing, I just really had to open myself up to that trust. And that reminds me of what you were saying about the association, how sometimes our association with devotees can be mundane because we have expectations or disappointments. And that also has to do with trust in the holy name. Because when we're feeling disappointed or we're having expectations with devotees and our dealings are mundane, it's because we're not fully trusting Krishna. Even though, you know, we might be feeling hurt by some devotee's actions, really, if we're situated properly internally, we can see that this is all because of Krishna's will. Right? So,
and giving us an opportunity to serve.
Giving us an opportunity to serve and work through some of our own stuff, whatever reactions it's bringing up in ourselves, and clearing our hearts out. And so when we lack, you were saying that these mundane experiences that we have with devotees prevents us from chanting from the heart, because trust in Krishna equals trust in the holy name. And unless we have trust in the holy name, then
we're stuck,
right? We can't. What can we do? So by trusting the relationships with devotees, trying not to have these expectations, that opens our faith and trust in Krishna. It opens our faith and trust in the holy name, and we can chant better.
Yadavar said the same thing very succinctly.
What did he say?
The holy name is independent.
We have no control over the whole thing. So what's the position of the servant? I'm at the beck and call of the master.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that I have said at least a couple of thousand times. When we surrender to Krishna, we should understand we're surrendering on his terms. And if we dictate the terms, that's not surrender. Mm-hmm. That's our stuff. Getting in the way of the relationship and real surrender. It's not surrender. So that's a struggle. It's one of the messages was behind the mind is the false ego. So we can struggle with the mind. Like, you know, the comments. And it's the mind is, I can do it, or the self-loathing, I'm not good enough, I'm so repulsed, you know, I have no feelings. And just a, and all that other dumping stuff.
It's all Maya. It's one of the things that I appreciated of what you were sharing was, besides feeling sheltered, you were feeling, what a relief. I don't have to go there and do that battle with all that stuff. I just have to be the servant of the holy name. And Krishna knows, and just, I want to reach him, and he knows that. And so it's because the other is just it's an energy waster. It's a time waster. It's a loser. It's a drain. It's not the holy name. It's all about me instead of the holy name. I'm going to go back to the holy name, but I'm stuck over there about me and I want to go to the holy name. So then this very simple being the servant, we're not controlling Krishna. It's on his terms, and we're just serving and serving and serving and serving. And that's the position of happiness, is being the servant of the master. And he's a loving master. And then that's the position of feeling safe. We don't have to control. We have to serve. Be present with our master in a serving mood. That's our assignment. And then one of the... I didn't emphasize it sufficiently, but one of the things that I'll mention it now, it's good to be tuned in to the little signals that Krishna is giving. It makes the reciprocation that Krishna is extending to us, the on his terms reciprocation, some little signal, some prompt. It doesn't have to be like this, you know, smashing thing. Just some prompt that says, I'm here. And here's how you can come to me. And you don't need to do that struggle over there. Here's how you can come to me. And just follow that prompt. Okay. Is there more you want to share with us, or we're ready to move on?
Very grateful. Look, Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. What did I? Oh my god. I don't like that. That scares me. No. No. Oh. Okay. Anyways, just that to keep enthused, like it would be nice once we go back to our own communities, we can see what a nice like restart button this was for us, and to keep enthused. And maybe it would be a nice idea to once in a while set times to get together in our communities and go over our notes to keep enthused. Because I've never done a japa retreat, and those of you who have before, maybe you can give some more insight into how does it last? You know, how do we keep this feeling going and this determination going? Can we help each other to maintain that in a personal way?
Just before we're ready to break the records, I'll respond to that question. It's part of the whole exercise. The preamble was, this is perhaps the most important part, or one of the most important parts, because it's all important, integrating and then moving to the next level. The butterfly emerges. Others? Mother Padyavali.
I've been in a bit of a dilemma for some time now. And my searching in myself for finding what's the cause of my dilemma. And it brought me back to an experience I had in Vrindavan with Mahiniti Swami. I wanted to know, what is the most important thing? That was my question when I went to India some years ago. So I found Mahiniti Swami sitting on the steps of Prabhupada's quarters in Krishna Damodar Temple.
At Radha
Damodar? Radha Damodar Temple, yeah. And he was sitting by himself. So I went to him and I said, Maharaj, I have a question. What's the most important thing? He said, and then all of a sudden this little tiny widow came up and she was so actively speaking to me. And she was going on and on, and I'm looking over her head at Maharaj, and he's saying, just wait, just wait. So I'm waiting. He said, she'll run down and she'll go sit in the corner. I said, okay. So she did just that. So I said, I started to ask the question again. This big dog came. And I'm scared of dogs. And I was like, Maharaj. And he said, don't worry, he'll just go around a couple of times and he'll sit in the corner also. I said, okay. So I got settled and I thought, now I'll ask my question. And then these two American ladies came through the gate. Maharaj, you're having class. Can I come? Can I come? He said, yes, come. So they came and sat down. So Maharaj looked around. He said, I guess we're all here. We're all supposed to be here. He said, in Vaikuntha, whoever is supposed to come, they'll come. I said, okay. He said, now you can ask your question. I said, okay, what is the most important thing, Maharaj? He said, I don't know, but I can tell you a story. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, okay. He said, why do you suppose Bhaktivinoda Thakur left Radhakunda and wanted to go to Kurukshetra at the very almost close of his life? I said, I don't know. He said, Radharani wanted Krishna to return to Vrindavan, and she was in great anxiety, and he wanted to go there and assist her at this time of great need. He said, does that answer your question? And I've been pondering this ever since. And so the question came back really strong this year. What is the greatest need for myself? And the answer was, the indication was, change. What I was doing as the service I was rendering was more important than something else. Or was I emphasizing the wrong things? So I wasn't getting the taste that I had before for doing things. There was some change taking place. So when the opportunity for this program came, I thought, that's it. I have to go. But how to get out of Vancouver when the Rathi Yatra is looming? So I said to the devotees, I'm going. They said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I have to go. I have to find out something. And so finally, I said, if you don't let me go, I won't be able to get out. So you have to tell them. I'd say, yes, you can go. So they all said, yes, I could go, so I'm here. And I found the thing I lost. It's the search. Not accepting everything just, you know, as it happens to you, and then not forget the important question. What's the purpose? What's the goal? For me, not just in the books and not what other people say, but what's my goal? So I'm happy to tell you that I've found what I'm looking for in your association. The most important thing, I think, is to remember Krishna and never forget him. And the best way to do that is to chant nicely and associate with the devotees. And these are really the basics of devotional service, but somehow we forget them. And this has been a very great refresher course. Thank you, Maharaj.
Very beautiful.
You're a poet. Kavi. You always speak so eloquently. Very much resonates with, expressed in a different manner, but yes. And Don?
This is Sundarajan from Seattle. Actually, I am very new to Krishna consciousness for the last 8 months. And this is my first japa retreat.
Mother Padyavali, how long have you been serving in Krishna consciousness?
35 years. That's the exact contrast.
The assembly that you're in is an assembly of some very, very senior devotees.
Yeah. So, actually, the points that I heard, like reading the mantras and then chanting, improve the concentration and pronunciation of the mantras. I've been following all this since I'm into Krishna consciousness because of my Shiksha Guru, that is Sundaranand Prabhu. He's in Seattle. I mean, he groomed me from the day one in the Krishna consciousness. So actually, I used to follow him while chanting, whatever he used to do, and he used to give me tips and all those things. So, I mean, really those things helped me, and whatever I grow till now, it's because of him. So I owe my growth in Krishna consciousness to him, actually. And the realization I got is, I felt that really I got a very good Shiksha Guru in terms of Sundaranand Prabhu. So the association that I got here, it's also because of him. I mean, I would have not got such association if I didn't get Shiksha Guru like him. So that was one good realization I got. And the second thing was, I also wanted to chant 64 rounds earlier days, but I wasn't able to finish it. I mean, somehow or the other, I used to stuck up in 30s or 40s. And I felt that I was able to complete 64 rounds here purely because of the association and the vibration that was coming out of the devotees. So, I mean, I really feel good.
You chanted 64 rounds?
Yeah, yesterday.
Hills and valleys sharing, or it was all smooth sailing?
It's actually, I'm not able to concentrate completely on the chanting. I mean, it's like 2 mantras I'll chant with concentration, but after that 10 mantras or 15 mantras will just go. I mean, it's not full of concentration. So, but the thing, good thing I realized yesterday was that in the round of 16 rounds that we chant, we're not able to concentrate. I mean, in 16 rounds, the concentration, the mantras, the number of mantras that we concentrate on is very less. But in the chant of 64 rounds, it's more. So. That's all right.
Good man.
Raghunath Das. In the afternoon yesterday, when there weren't that many devotees here, it was just the devotees that were chanting 64 rounds. It was kind of a lull in the afternoon where there was just like a group of devotees chanting. And during that period, I felt a very strong connection between all of the devotees, and I felt very I felt that we were all reaching out for Krishna together, collectively. So it was a real collection. Yeah, it was a wonderful feeling. It was blissful. It was blissful. And the other thing that I noticed as well, which impacted me, was...
Can you speak louder, please?
Yeah, I can try. Was that when I was chanting, my chanting was best when I felt like it wasn't going to end. There was no time limit. I felt like I had the whole day and I didn't have to rush my rounds. I could just keep going. But that was the most blissful experience, was feeling like there wasn't going to be a point when I stopped chanting. I was going to just keep going. And then when I felt like I didn't have enough time to chant or didn't have much time left, then my chanting, the quality decreased, feeling that it was going to end, that I had to stop chanting. So when there was no end in sight, then my chanting was best. So that's another.
Something that I'm hearing from a number of persons expressed in a very different way, but fruitive tendency is so inevitable.
And freedom is just being a servant. There's a wonderful discussion about this in relation to Narada Muni, and Prabhupada's language is like he's writing a poem about real freedom. The sense of feeling really free is full surrender, and there's nothing but the service that's given to us, and that's real freedom. And we lose our freedom by trying to control. The spirit of service is gone, Krishna is gone, it's just a struggle. The mind, emotion, negative emotion, running from one thing to the next thing. Our freedom is lost. Our happiness is lost. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have some. What's the breakfast timing? 9:30. Okay. It was over here. Go ahead.
Nritya Gauranga Das from Seattle. So, before I came to this Japa retreat, earlier when I was chanting, I would think before chanting, let me try to concentrate on the mantra. After a few mantras, the mind slips into thoughts, and then after some time, you pull it back, and then I could not even know that how the mind slips into thoughts. But in the Japa retreat, when I heard one point that if you can place your worshipable deities from within your heart in front of you, and then try to meditate and try to please them by your chanting, actually that has helped me a lot. I actually practically experienced it in yesterday's chanting. So I brought my Sri Gaur Nitai Gaur Chandra in front of my eyes, and then when they were in before me and when I was chanting, I thought that these are the most important personalities in my life, and when they are sitting right in front of me, I have to pay full attention to the chanting and try to please them. And when I tried to do that, my mind was not deviating anywhere, and I was able to do 32 rounds so easily that I didn't even realize that I finished 32 rounds. So this was the first time I experienced that I was able to concentrate fully on the chanting. So, and then one more point yesterday, which I heard from the Sanatana Goswami's instructions on chanting, is patience. Like, when we think that, okay, I need to complete this round, like in 6 or 7 minutes, then we will be concentrating more on the time rather than concentrating on the mantra itself. And though it takes only 6 minutes, because of our anticipation to complete it sooner, we feel that it took like half hour. But when we forget about the time, okay, let it take 6 or 8 minutes. Let me actually concentrate on mantra alone. And then you will complete the round within 8 minutes, but you feel like you have done in 1 or 2 minutes. It's so easy. So that's another thing which I experienced yesterday. So just wanted to share these two things.
And take home?
Yeah. The take home, the things are like, whenever I chant, I will always try to bring my deities from within the heart in front of me, and then try to chant in the mood to please them. Yeah. And one more thing is, like, I will always check with some of my devotee friends to see whether my chanting is proper or not, and if I'm making any mistakes in the chanting properly.
That exercise helpful?
Yes, Maharaj. That is very helpful. I wanted to do it regularly, maybe once in a week or once in fortnight, so. Thank you.
What's your name?
Anina.
How old are you now?
I'm 10.
You're 10. Where did you get to be 16? Maybe it's 64, 128. There she goes. Go ahead.
Well, when it came to Shainagati, I felt like this place was going to be so ecstatic and wonderful. And when I started chanting, I felt like I had lots of love for Krishna. Mm. And it was my first time feeling that, so I was really happy.
We're happy for you. It's a nice feeling.
I'm also happy that because I've never chanted 32 rounds. My mom, she said, when you come back, you have to teach me. And I'm really happy that I did that.
I'm Ashmi Chakraborty. When I started chanting,
how many rounds you chanted yesterday?
48.
48. And some of them were on horseback. But the horse was just walking. And she was chanting. And the horse was getting benefit from her chanting. She chanted loud enough so the horse could hear. Go ahead.
My first couple of rounds, I think I did a good job on. And then my mind wasn't focusing anymore. And what helped me was to read the Maha Mantra hanging on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then after some time, I started walking around, and that helped me focus too. And when I go back to Seattle and when I'm chanting, I want to try to focus my mind more on Krishna while chanting and try to think less about other things. And the way I can try to do it is by sitting in one place and chanting in front of my deities or walking around and chanting.
Do you think this idea of chanting for the pleasure of the deities is going to be helpful?
Yeah.
Others found it to be very helpful. You can try that also. For their pleasure. We do so many things, like Karel was describing. We do so many things. I see you do so many things to serve others. So in that mood of trying to serve others, it's all part of service to Krishna, and chanting the holy name is our intimate, direct service to Krishna time.
Well, actually, that's so relevant. It brings me exactly to the point. It's amazing how Krishna arranged this. Actually, I've just had this realization just in the last half hour listening to all these sincere sharing that I'm so insincere in my chanting, because it was always about my own satisfaction and my pleasure. Actually, I have to be honest, it's like sort of I'm exposed that... You know, I've always experienced, like, you know, there's that beautiful verse, Krishna Surya Sama, the Krishna's like the sun, and the feeling that when the sun comes shining in, it's a comforting feeling. So my relationship with the Holy Name was always that when I needed comforting, then I really got into the chanting. When I needed that boost, that comforting. In other words, I was chanting for my pleasure. But then when the comforting was not so urgent or urgently needed, then I would, you know, space out. I would not chant such nice, you know, rounds. And so I'd sort of expose my, that, truth, which is like staring me in the face. So I have to have a change of heart, you know, and it's very nice realizations that have been shared here, how, the Holy Name is completely independent, and we have to become the servant of the Holy Name, and on His terms, whatever He provides, happiness, distress, you know, loss or gain, everything, it's all part of the better, you know. So I shouldn't be so motivated, you know, just in my selfish, shallow way that I have to be happy when I chant, you know. And of course, there's ultimate happiness there, but you got to get it into the deeper level. So I need to take that home with me.
One or two more.
My name is Yogavetya from Seattle, and from this retreat, I've learned not to take chanting as homework. I started chanting 16 rounds like 2 or 3 years ago when I was confused in a really tough situation. It seemed like no one else could help. But then when I started chanting, the sense of like peace came to me and I enjoyed it. But in the past couple of months, mainly, like, it's been more of a duty rather than how before, like, I wanted to do it. And I kind of lost. I was doing 16 rounds instead of taking shelter of the holy name, more like wearing it around the necklace saying, oh, yes, I chanted 16 rounds today and, you know, everything else is going to be good. But, like, there was a big difference between, like, yesterday and the day before that. On the first day of the retreat, I was in the kids' camp, and the duty was to chant 16 rounds, so that was like any other day, you know. But then yesterday, after 32 rounds, Vrajabhakti Mataji asked us, they're going to go swimming in a half an hour. So then I was thinking, okay, so they're going to go swimming in a half an hour. Either I can do another 32 and do 64, or go swimming with all the kids. Then I said to myself, you know, there must be something here that I'm missing, that because 32 rounds takes 4 hours, which in that time, you know, you can do lots of other service and all that other stuff. But I was thinking, you know, there must be something here that I'm missing that makes people want to chant more and more. So I kind of skipped that, and I used that time to chant 64 rounds. And the thing I'm going to take home, which I kind of relearned today, the feeling that I had when I first started 16 rounds, the feeling of helplessness, that when all things are lost, when you have no one else, Krishna will always be there for you. And in the past couple of months, I didn't really see that because, you know, it's like everything was nice, but now when I start looking back, everything wasn't nice because all these things are going to end, and if something happens, we're not going to be able to go to our teachers or anything. The only person we have left is Krishna, is the holy name, and if you don't do a proper job in paying respects to it and taking shelter of it now, then at the proper time we won't be able to do it.
Thinking it would be nice to hear from some of our most senior devotees. They don't want to encourage the Mataji's here to speak something.
Hare Krishna, Yamuna Devi. Well, I relish so much chanting, and I relish so much chanting in the company of all of you devotees, and I relish so much chanting with Maharaj. My only association with Maharaj has been chanting, and those devotees that I have the deepest relationship with, it's with chanting. So, let's see. The butterfly was a wonderful visual. The transformation aspect of, we're all jiva souls who have forgotten Krishna for so long, and by chanting, as recommended in this age, everything auspicious comes, all good fortune comes, all service to Sri Guru comes, all service to our Vaishnav family from the past comes. So chanting is the be-all and end-all, and the process recommended in this age. And the more we relish this together, the stronger we'll be as a family, and a very functional family, and that family that can change the face of the earth. this whole Krishna consciousness is for transforming the one butterfly into millions upon millions because of the presence of Lord Chaitanya so close to us. So deeply grateful for this Sangha and this sharing of the holy name. And the more we chant, the more we'll have a taste for chanting. It's self-perpetuating. So 64 rounds, 128 rounds. We have a very nice Prabhu here that spends half of his year in Mayapur and half here. And one morning it was just the two of us, Dina and I, at Mangalarti, and Madan Mohan Prabhu came in. And he was just effulgent, completely halo around his head. Well, what have you been doing, Madan? Oh, how many rounds had you chanted that day, Madan, for about 12, 14 hours? No, just tell, how many?
192.
And I tell you, he was just self-effulgent, radiant. And he just decided, I'm going to chant this 192 rounds. So I haven't met too many Prabhus that have taken relish like that, just spontaneously. So I can highly recommend that for those of us that do this, there's just no end to the treasure that's there. This is a jewel we've been given by our Vaishnavacharyas and by each other. Let's take it, preserve it, and share it with the world. Hare Krishna.
My name is Dina Tarini Dasi. I'd like to first of all formally thank Maharaj for coming to this remote, out-of-the-way area and sharing the glories of the Holy Name with us. And I would like to thank all of you for coming. I'm deeply indebted and feel gratitude to have had your company for this short time, because there is the greatest wealth in the Sangha of Vaishnavas. This is how our faith increases. This is how how we become motivated to continue along the path of Krishna consciousness in a humble and determined state of mind. One time when I was a new devotee, I was having trouble staying in the temples. I tried to join in New York when they were at 61 Second Avenue, 1970, and I lasted 2 days there. Then I tried to join in Columbus, and I think I lasted a week. And this went on, and finally I went back home, and I wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and sent it to the address of the New York press, because it was the only address I had. And I said, what is the situation of someone like me, who seems to have some taste for chanting the holy name, but finds the sangha of devotees, the living amongst devotees, extremely difficult. And so 1 month went by, and 2 months went by, and in that time I decided I was again going to join a temple. And on the way out to hitchhike to the next temple I was going to, stopped at the old place that I had been living and went to the mailbox, and there was one little blue air letter in there. And they had forwarded my letter to Srila Prabhupada in India, and he hand wrote an air letter back to me. And he said, in order to be successful in chanting the holy name, three things are necessary. He said, first of all, you must keep enthusiasm. And he said, and then you must keep determined in the process. And then, finally, you must have patience. So, he said, if any one of these three things is lacking, you will find the path back to Godhead difficult. And he said, then he fixed upon my specific problem. And then he said, so please learn to be patient, because that was the problem. So I found that Krishna is always challenging us with these three things. And the more we can remain steadily enthusiastic, steadily determined, and steadily patient, the more opportunity we have to take shelter in the holy name and to actually taste the wonderful nectar that the holy name brings to us. And especially we can taste that in the Sangha of other Vaishnavas. So I thank you very much for coming here and giving your Sangha. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Sangha here, but basically, yeah, chanting has always been my main focus in spiritual life, and I feel very inspired by it. I find actually living in Mayapur now that my goal, the main focus is the chanting. So I do 32 rounds every day there, and it's like it seems as the years go on, it's like it becomes definitely becomes easier, and it's like and more inspiring. And it's like the process we have is so been given by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's actually so easy in one sense, and I just feel grateful. And actually, what I find the most important thing also is the association of the devotees, chanting with the devotees, and getting that inspiration from each other is kind of an important factor. And it's good to go on a marathon sometimes. Like the time I chanted those extra rounds. Actually, I've done it 3 times, actually. And it takes about 18, 20 hours, roughly. And I found the easiest thing is actually mentally it's easy. It's mostly physical that is harder, that kind of thing. But what I realized, anyone can chant on a marathon. And it's, but the thing is that you really appreciate, Bhaktisiddhanta or Haridas Thakur, that they would do it every day. And it's like, I mean, it's easy to do a marathon, it's 32 rounds or 64 rounds, whatever it is. But then to do that every day, you know, that amount that they were doing, you see that, you realize that they're on this transcendental platform and we have a long ways to go. But it's inspiring to just to have the association of devotees to encourage each other to try to increase in our spiritual life.